Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Thank you guys for joining the 9Innings Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Kevin Thompson, founder and CEO of 9Innings Capital Group. Thank you guys for joining us. As I always say, subscribe to the channel. As I always say, go and get my book, MLB to CFP Live on Apple and Amazon. You have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@9iCapitalGroup.com. Send us your questions. Go to the website at www.9iCapitalGroup.com. Schedule an appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, and engage, and also entertain. And I've been doing some reading, my friends. We are headed to the election. It's the most consequential election of all time. That's what they're going to tell you. The most consequential election is going to be the next one, right? But to get on that horse, we're talking about politics. No, you don't talk about politics, but I've been doing some reading. The Myth of Left and Right by Hiram and Verlin Lewis. I'm going to talk about this book today because is it a myth? And how does it impact the social order? You don't want to miss this today, my friends. We got a lot of information to discuss. Let's get it. So, as you know, I like to read. I like to educate myself. And with all the vitriol that's out there in the ethos, I said, you know what? I need to read something that can help me delineate what is actually going on in the current landscape. And I found a wonderful book, and I'm going to put it here. It is The Myth of Left and Right by Hiram and Verlin Lewis. This book helps, I guess, kind of pull back the onion a little bit and kind of talk about, is it an ideology that people are following, or is it just tribalism that people are following? And with the upcoming election season, this conversation is very, very timely. Because we're not just talking about politics or party lines. We're talking about the powerful dynamics that drive political identity. Are you voting on principle, or is it more my team wins? So let's start with this. I want to set the stage a little bit. So in the book, The Myth of Left and Right, it starts with this concept of the four humors. If you're not familiar with that, if you've seen any old movie where there's a knight or a king or somebody, and there's a doctor that comes in that wants to start sticking them with things, letting the blood come out, it's called bloodletting, right? Once upon a time, people believed in the four humors. This was the theory that you could cure illness caused by the bodily imbalance of fluids by just bloodletting the individuals, which often caused more harm than good. What's funny about that, and I know it sounds ridiculous, but what Verlin and Hiram Lewis were suggesting were that we may be doing the exact same thing today. Are we doing something that's causing more harm than good? So just like people were once convinced that bleeding paces was the essential way to restore our health, we often cling to the same belief in our political tribes. Whether you're liberal or conservative, these philosophies, right? What they're arguing in the book is this: just like the four humors, our political tribes are far more arbitrary than we think. So I want you to think back to the last movie that you saw where they were actually bloodletting the patient and if it actually worked, right? Quite often, the patient died. So I'm just setting the stage for you because our next thing we're going to talk about is, do we believe that we have a political ideology, or is it more a tribalism that we're facing? Now, I'm going to use this example. Unfortunately, I'm a Cowboy fan, right? I'm a Cowboy fan, and I have to follow the Cowboys. Yes, we haven't won a a Super Bowl to like last one was on 95. I get it. But I have to hate certain teams, whether it be the Eagles, whether it be the team in Washington, and they changed their name. But at the end of the day, and the Giants, it used to be the Phoenix Cardinals I used to hate as well. But at the end of the day, we have to hate certain teams because our tribe is the Dallas Cowboys, like Michael Irvin would say. So with that being said, when you talk nasty against the Cowboys, a whole host of individuals will come online and say, hey, who are you talking about? What are you talking about? Dak is the greatest quarterback of all time. We gotta defend our tribe. So what does it mean to be conservative or liberal? Is it a set of unwavering beliefs, or is it more belonging to a team? Like I mentioned before, I'm a Cowboys fan. So let's think about it from a rooting for a team perspective when they're up or down. It's less about the performance on any given day and more about the sense of community, shared history, and the loyalty towards those Cowboys. So what we're arguing and what Lewis is arguing, what both Lewis's are arguing, is that politics work the exact same way. So we've seen these studies, right? And we can back up these studies. People will switch their stance on policies based on who's promoting them. Here's an example. If a prominent figure in your party endorses a particular policy, members of that group are more likely to fall in line, even if the policy doesn't fit their past positions. Case in point, I'm an independent guy, so just FYI, but we've had conservatives in the past that were more globalist or interventionist versus protectionist than they are today. Now, parties flip-flop their ideologies, right? Conservatives, liberals, they've all flip-flopped their kind of ideologies, whether it be against certain things. But there's certain core tenets of each political party that remain constant through time. You can go back to the Goldwater days and his politics versus Reagan. They were kind of flip-flopped, right? And Bush's politics versus Trump's politics were kind of flip-flopped. Big government versus small government. So, but again, can we really say Trump's policies are actually small government, which they actually increase government size? So, be that as it may, like I said before, we all like to fall in line. So what's the takeaway? This means that your political identity is actually fluid, more driven by the need to stick with your team than uphold consistent values. And that leads us into the difference between a social mindset, which is the mindset of a group, versus an essentialist mindset, which is, I believe in these core tenets and I'm sticking with them and nothing's going to change that. And if it's a conservative or liberal that wants to partake in these ideologies, I'm going that direction. So I think that's a compelling point. Tribalism over ideology, which one is it? And as you can see, it's become more of a tribalist society based on what we're seeing as of today. So third point, the social versus the essentialist mindset. Let's break this down into two mindsets, okay? So because they can help explain why people will defend their party no matter what, while others might be skeptical, right? So the social mindset is that, what both Lewis's were talking about, prioritizes tribe over principle. Like I said, what is my group? Who do I belong to? I'm a Cowboys fan, so I gotta like Dak. I'm a Cowboys fan, so I gotta like Jerry. I may not like Jerry Jones, but hey, I gotta stick with them through and through. They may be 1-15, but I'm sticking with them no matter what, right? So with this mindset, people support policies they may or may not align with groups' stance at a particular moment, rather than holding the policy up against their own personal core beliefs. This mindset is more essential and dynamic, easily shifting as the group's stance shift. This is the follow the leader approach, if you want to call it that. Now, On the other hand, the essentialist mindset is guided by consistent principles where, hey, I evaluated these independently, regardless of a group's endorsement. My ideology, I may support or may not support a group because of this, but at the end of the day, I have my core beliefs, and it may fall under conservative, but it may fall under liberal, whatever that might may be. Regardless of the politicization, hey, this is my stance. Most people will say that's abortion. Some people stance on abortion. This is my stance, and whatever party does what, that's my stance. Some people may say something else, big government versus small government. This is my stance. So regardless of how unpopular it may be, opinions with the group, you're based on a principle. So to illustrate these two things, here's a hypothetical voter. Let's call him Stan, Sam, Cowboys fan. Sam has always considered himself a conservative, but let's just say suddenly he backs a big government spending bill, departure from the past views. If Stan has a social mindset, he's likely to support the bill because it's what the tribe supports. But if Stan has an essentialist mindset, he'll stop and ask, does the policy actually align with my belief as a small government? That pause is the critical thinking and what differentiates essentialist from a social follower. So let's bring this back into come back to the core tenets of what we're talking about. Are we in which environment? Are we in the social mindset where it's tribal, or is it an essentialist mindset where, you know what, I can independently make these changes towards whichever group that fits my core beliefs? A lot of it has become tribal. So let's talk about part four, the historical shifts and tribal flexibility. This is not just a modern day phenomenon. So let's talk about how loyalty has overridden ideology over the centuries. So back in the days, we had Thomas Jefferson, was all about minimal government intervention, right? He championed laissez-faire economics, opposed big government influence. Then you had Alexander Hamilton and his political rival, which he advocated for government spending and a strong federal presence. These were diametrically opposed views, right? Much like today's debates about government size. Fast forward, and those hard lines between left and right have shifted repeatedly. Even the parties have traded stances on these issues, like free trade or government intervention. Republicans, who once stood firmly behind free trade, have taken a more protectionist stance recently, while Democrats have adopted certain aspects of free trade. And in the 19th century, you had the Jacksonian Democrats, who endorsed military conquest and expansion, while the Whigs favored more government control over the economy and promoted policies that were far from what we think conservative is today. These are examples of the left and right and how they have switched over time, driven by which tribe values what at any given time. It's the flexibility that comes into, hey, well, we were this at one point, we were this at another point, we were this at another point. Go back to the 60s with Barry Goldwater, Reagan, and then you had the Bush 1, Bush 2, all these different things. All the different dynamics in each of these. Reagan was an interventionist, right? Tear down that wall. Reagan was a big globalist, and we're not that way anymore in regards to protectionism. So things have changed, right? So let's talk about part five: the upcoming election and tribal dynamics. Now, I am not trying to be that guy for clicks. I'm not that guy. My job is to kind of educate and let you know where I'm coming from and what I'm reading, right? I like to give information. So as we head to the upcoming election, the argument takes on a new level of importance. How much of this discourse would be driven by principles? How much of it would be simply a rallying the tribe? In this election, candidates might take stances that seem out of step with their party, which have supported them over tens of years. But because it's endorsed by their team, supporters will likely fall in line. This tribal tendency means that we might see support for policies that aren't rooted in the ideology as much as the group loyalty. So here's a question to consider as you prepare to vote. Are you supporting your party because you believe its principles, or are you supporting it because you identify with the team? Again, I'm a Cowboys fan. Jerry Jones, Dak Prescott, Troy Aikman. Those are my guys, man. You know, I have to ride or die with those guys. I could be upset with those guys all day long. But again, don't attack my team. But that is sports. That is sports. But are sports any different than our political presence? So let's talk about, let's reflect on this for a second. Like I said, this book, put it back up here, The Myth Between Left and Right. Is it a myth on what we believe? Are we tribal in nature? And it's always, if you look at human history, it's always been tribal. Groups have bandied together because you know why? Tribes succeed. Tribes typically bandy together. They build things together, whether it be agrarian economies, whether it be militaries. They do that because they know over a long period of time, a group together is stronger than individuals outside of that group. That's why that normally works. Now, so in wrapping this up, and Verlin and Hiram Lewis's The Myth of Left and Right, it offers a timely reminder to think critically about our political identities. Are we supporting our parties out of genuine belief or simply out of loyalty to a tribe? I like to challenge each and every one of us to examine our motivations. In this coming election, I am not telling you who to vote for because I don't care. I really don't care. But are you voting because you believe in a set of values? Or is it there a part of you that's following a team even when they deviate from the principles you hold dear? I've heard such and such, or so many people, I got people on both sides of the fence here. They'll say, I like this person because they're strong. I may not like the person's personality. That's great. Fine. Whatever. Or I like this person because they bring people together. I don't feel like they're qualified. Okay, fine. Whatever. Whatever you say, that is your core belief. That is okay. But as we discussed, ideology is more of a social phenomenon than we often realize. So let's pause and ask ourselves, am I in a social or essentialist mindset? Am I choosing my beliefs or letting the tribe choose them for me? Thank you guys for joining the 90s podcast. Subscribe to the channel. Don't forget my book, MLB the CFP, live on Apple and Amazon. You have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@99capitalgroup.com. Send us your questions. Go to the website at www.99capitalgroup.com. Schedule an appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, and engage, and hopefully entertain. And today, we hope we educated you. Which one are you? Are you tribal in the socialist fashion where you're just group-minded? Or are you trying to be more of an essentialist, figuring out what your core values are and choosing a side based on that, irrelevant of any other outside factors? The choice is yours. Enjoy this election season. I hope everything goes off without a hitch. We got to come together. We're stronger together. A divided nation cannot stand. We are the United States of America. We need to come together. Stay humble, stay safe, my friends. I'll see you again soon.